glory, hallelujah. Do that three times, and then the last phrase is thanksgiving to the living God. And
I'll stand up here so you can all say
it. You wanted to be looked up to in the morning.
Watch the microphone on your big swing.
Anyway, we're going to do some hand movements with it, so you might want to give yourself just a little bit of room there, just in case you want to swing around a little bit here. So we've got that glory, glory. It's like you've got a hand, tambourine in your favorite hand. You kind of hit it on your other hand and swing it around like this in a nice circle. So that's glory, glory. And then the second time around, you leave your hand up there. If you can remember, you kind of crook your finger a little bit like this. Bring your other hand up. Crook your finger, spin it around a couple times, and flip it up in the air even higher. If you want to even get a little stretch without falling over, you can do that. Just like glory, glory, hallelujah, glory, glory, hallelujah, glory, glory, hallelujah. And it's thanksgiving to the living God. We do that like this. Thanksgiving, okay? So thanks. Giving. And if you can remember, as you're coming out, put your fingers in the shape of a little L like that. Just drop them down to your side, scoop them up your body. To the living, we extend one hand up, God. And then I like to bring that hand back in too, to remind us that God is an incarnate God and comes right into us here. Okay? So it's thanks, giving. You can remember the fingers. To the living God. How's that?
Yeah,
pretty good. Pretty good. Think you can do that and sing at the same time? I don't know. I'm starting to warm up already. Okay. So we'll go like this. Well, let me teach you the song. It goes, glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Thanks. Giving to the living God. I'll give that a try. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Thanksgiving to the living God. Okay, not too high, right? Good morning. Let's give it a try all together. One, two, here we go. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Thanksgiving to the living God. Okay, so snap our fingers and I'll sing the verse or two. You do that? We were made to sing God's praises. Let the light within us shine. Tell the world the Lord of days is Lord of night and all the time. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Thanksgiving to the living God. Serve the Lord each day with gladness. Worship God with heart and mind. Meet joy with joy, meet sad with sadness, sing in praises all the time. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Thanksgiving to the living God. Bear the cross and share the glory, bear the loss and wear the crown. Choose to live this gospel story. Lose yourself and you'll be found. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Thanksgiving to the living God. Do that one more time without the words and the music. Here we go. Went into a church for the deaf, that last way we did it might be the way you would hear the song of praise for the day done. Okay.
We do one more?
Oh, yeah. All the Taizé comes a new song.
We thought maybe we would do a couple of Taizé songs this morning. Or do we have supposed to even sing something else?
No, this is
are the green ones around yet?
We don't have green ones.
Okay. How about in the back? Green?
Do you have green up there on top?
Nope.
We don't have green.
Oh, let's include the top most people here. Who?
Green and yellow. Anybody still missing either one?
How was the pronunciation?
I think it's Jubilate.
Jubilate, okay. Any other helps here? Okay, Jubilate Deo. Let's give it a try.
Jubilate Deo, omnis terra, servite domino in laetitia. Alleluia, alleluia, in laetitia. Alleluia, alleluia, in laetitia.
Okay, John, you want to take this part, and I'll take this half over here? We'll do this through twice, and let's move around.
Okay. This group? Okay, we'll start.
Jubilate Deo, jubilate Deo, omnis terra, omnis terra, servite domino, in laetitia, laetitia. Alleluia, alleluia, in laetitia, laetitia. Alleluia, alleluia.
You've been with me too long.
Well, we learn from each other.
How about Ubi Caritas?
Okay,
well,
good. Let's do that.
Same green sheet at the back. Do we need some more? Is there somebody?
Oh, can... oh, do we have a piano player on this? Let's have a piano player. Sorry.
So you there you are.
Because we've got three parts here. It'd be fun to... Maybe at least I don't think I could teach all three parts, but if you were playing them, maybe we could get a sense of it. Do you know this one?
No.
Why don't you just play them melody once through?
these are all in treble clefs, but as a person who sings bass voice, I like to sing the second line up there on the top. So the person says, Unus viuvi caritas. So if you have a lower voice, sing that particular line. And if you have a higher voice, sing the one in this case on the bottom, because that goes up above the other. Not this morning. Nobody. Is that the case? Okay, Ed. Everybody listen to Ed. Does Ed have a couple of friends so he wouldn't have to do this as a soloist? It's not real high. It only goes up to a beat. Three people. We need three people to do this one.
There's somebody at top. Just hand
down. All right. Okay. Good. There's two. Well, you two are pretty far apart. But anybody that wants to try the high voice, let's give that one a try. Here we go.
Here, Dan's
fine. Okay. I lied, it went higher than a D, didn't it? And that's all, okay, for how many low people then this morning do we have? Well, we got a lot of people in the middle. Walk in the middle this morning, yeah. Well, let's try the low part. This is where everybody gets their shot. Here we go.
Ubi caritas et amor. Ubi caritas Deus ibi est.
Okay, let's try it all together. What? Yeah, wherever you want to play, that's great. Okay, everybody, we'll just sing it through a few times until we get it. Here we go. Without the piano. Here we go.
Ubi caritas et amor. Ubi caritas Deus ibi est.
Very nice.
Someone
sang that one yesterday in the hotel, second floor hall. Who knew this before this one? Who was sitting there? Oh,
all right.
All of them. All three. Very nice. Thank you, Ray.
Great.
So we have a play somewhere for Stephen Stones later, and we'll close. Okay. Those would be the two that
is the man who wanted Ray and McKeever here.
Oh.
Yes. Ray had a request to do Raymond and McKeever once more. Is the person here that wanted that? We got time for that.
Yeah, there.
All right, I'll say.
Should we do that now?
Sure.
Oh, okay. Sure. Everybody remember the chorus?
Yeah.
Oh, let me do it. I'll do it in performance style. Okay, I'll put my finger picks on it. It must be getting ready to go out. I got money in my pocket again.
While Ray's getting his finger picked, Ray and I have a new partnership, and it's not very well organized, but we do have a brochure, if anybody wants to take that. If we could ever put together several things again, we like to come out west. It probably would take several things because there's transportation. Ray has to pay the airlines. I fly with a pass on Northwest, so we come fairly cheap. But someone was asking me how we do. Well, we have a gig in August of 94 in Wisconsin. We're glad for that. It's 3 days. But we don't have much
guess
between
that means
now
we'll be
and
then. We will be at Sky Ranch in July.
Right. But we could probably fit something else in.
And Vicky and Mason, Carol and Robinson.
One more time.
Gay and Martin, Vicky and Mason, Carol and Robinson. I was a young lad, 6 years old, in the first grade class, doing as I'd been told by my father, who had said, if you follow the rules, you'll make a good name at Jefferson School. Mary Schmidt was the teacher, and I liked her a lot. She liked me too, and sometimes I even got to do her a favor, like erase the board. But even more than Mary, I adored Gay and Martin, Vicky and Mason, Carol and Robinson. Gay and Martin, Vicky and Mason, Carol and Robinson. Well, there was some kind of magic in these three young girls, with their pleated little skirts and their long brown curls, and the way they colored pictures so bold and free, that must have touched something deep inside of me. Because one day I wrote my name, like Mrs. Schmidt said, in the upper right corner of my paper, but instead of Raymond Benton McKeever, I signed Ray and McKeever, and it looked just fine. Gay and Martin, Vicky and Mason, Carol and Robinson. Gay and Martin, Vicky and Mason, Carol and Robinson. Then the next day Mary gave our papers back. She announced what I had done, and everybody laughed. And I felt so bad that I could have cried, but I swallowed my tears, and a part of me died. Well, all this happened more than 40 years ago. Mary Schmidt is gone, God rest her soul. And please keep these women just as bold and free as the Ray and McKeever still living in me. Gay and Martin, Vicky and Mason, Carol and Robin. Vicky and Mason, Carol and Robinson.
Thank you. Ray went back to a reunion and sang that to those three women once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My 25th high school reunion.
That was great.
Only two of them were there, though.
So.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, we can't find Vicki Ann. Nobody knows where Vicki Ann is.
Well, I hope she's bold and free.
Actually, she dropped that off. Well, that's a long story.
Let me tell you a story. A student came to the rabbi and said, "Why in the story did God speak from a thorn bush to Moses?" And the rabbi said, "There's really no reason to answer the question. It didn't make any difference. It could have been a fig tree. It could have been a mulberry tree. But anyone who asks a question should not go away empty-handed. God spoke from the thorn bush to say forever that nothing was too ordinary to be the voice of God." That story has inspired me to a future project called Wisdom from the Thorn. Let me tell you what I mean by that. For 6 years, Mary and I lived on Thorn Creek in West Virginia. Mountain people, forgotten people. No tourists come to some of the most beautiful country. And I think of all the people I've ever lived with, they could probably be examples for all of the freedoms on the board more than any other people I have ever known, except for enmity. They feud a lot. So when I tell my stories there, I will try to talk about feuding. But on the other categories that we have, they are just marvelous people. Marvelous people. Talk about not having to prove anything to anybody. When they're called hillbillies, they make a bumper sticker and it says, "Hillbillies make better lovers." And talk about a nonchalance. This again is for the physicians. You realize how many medical people we have on this in this group? One of my favorite neighbors was Ilo Meredith Hall. He kept everything we had running without ever having to go into the big city 50 miles away. I pulled up once before I went on a long trip with a 74 Chevy station wagon and a water pump leaking. And Ilo said, "Back in those years, General Motors and Ford were interchangeable." People don't know that. Other Botkin abandoned a Ford up on the mountain in the sheep field. "We'll go up there." Other Botkin, I always wondered, can you imagine when they were little and they said, "Well, the other one," and that was his name? Anyway, Other Botkin had abandoned a Ford. And we went up, and within an hour, we had taken a water pump off of 76 Ford, put it on a 74 wagon, and I was on my way for a 500-mile trip, never leaked a drop. You know, the kind of a little shed and could find anything. One day I said, "Ilo, how you're doing?" And he said, "Deed, not well at all." Well, you don't expect that as an answer, so I pursued it. I said, "What's the matter?" He said, "I don't know. I just felt really bad, and I went to a doctor," and he said, "Oh, it's your blood pressure. It's high," and he gave me medicine. I felt worse. I found another doctor, and he said, "Oh, it's your blood pressure. It's low," and he gave me medicine. He said, "I'm going to find two more doctors. I'm going for Neutral and Park." Or when I tell the wisdom of Thorn Creek, do you know what will be up here that we didn't talk about at all? Our connection with the earth. Part of our slaveries spring from not being connected, our isolation from the rest of the created world. Most of our theology doesn't touch it. Galatians doesn't touch it. But those people have lived with seasons and nature. It's just thrilling. We planted a garden. We planted three gardens. It was the only way we were going to live in the winter. And we got a problem. Groundhogs. I didn't know there were so many groundhogs on our farm. They found our garden and started snipping off right when the things came up. We fenced. Our neighbor had a gun. I didn't. We said, you could hunt. We hadn't had any hunting on the property. I don't think he ever got any. But I didn't know what to do because we had to eat the next winter and things were looking bad. So I thought, well, Clink has lived here all of his life. Cleveland Smith. Everybody called him Clink. I said, Clink, you've lived here a long time. I'm sure you've faced our present problem. We have a garden. It's coming up. But the groundhogs are really doing us in. What have you found that stops them? Clink said, we plan enough for us and enough for them. And then he looked at me and said, they've got to eat too. And for the first time in my life, I realized maybe what Gandhi meant, that when he said, wherever you live, live there with a rural mind. So sometime, when I get to be better at my own stories, there's going to be a whole section called Wisdom from the Thorn. Have you sensed in stories and songs that they really are more than just a concert or a performance, that we are affected by our stories? Libby and I were talking. I think it's now proved, and the medical people here could explore this, I think it's now proved that if we changed our stories, I'll just give you one example, it's maybe not even the best. If the stories changed for 30 years, this wouldn't be the best change, but let's just say women were warriors and men were nurturers in all the stories, the testosterone would change within our bodies. You cannot separate myth and mythology from biology. And the stories we get shape us. Now, if you can take a story just as entertainment, but if you take the story in, it begins to shape who we are and what we do. That's our premise. Another way to say the premise is the greatest tragedy would be to live your life and miss your story. Don't ever let that happen. So if there are parts of the story of this weekend, what memories are you taking home? The only reason for possessions is to give us memories. The only reason for money is for memories, because all those other things will go, but memories are like good wine. They just get better with the age. Just think for a moment of a memory that you're going to take home from this weekend. Have a chance in the small group. That might be one thing that would be a way to share. Just each share one memory, and it could give you a whole variety of things, but you might share in other people's experiences that way. We have 1 hour to find all the answers, and we're not going to make it. So let's just have a couple things that bring some things together. One of the primary things I would like to say in my experience is the connection between community or being a people and freedom, because I think maybe that's the most counterculture thing that we're talking about. I think if you go against the individualism, there will be great resistance to it. And so we ought to go at the place that may be kind of the hardest for us to grasp. Because if it's countercultural to everyone, it's very hard to picture it. I mean, it's beyond our experience. Let me tell you a story. The missionary went from here to a culture that was very much a people. They say that for us to say a tribe is a put-down. So if I use it, I don't mean a put-down at all, that it's sophisticated people talking about primitive people, but they were in the sense of understanding themselves as part of a people much more than this culture. The missionary went, lived among them, very, very humble person, servant, lived there for years and years, and there wasn't a single baptism. They listened. They were cordial. Not a baptism. Then one day the chief came and said, "We believe. We wish to be baptized." So the missionary did what you would expect a missionary to do. Began interviewing, instructing, and then came back to the chief and said, "Here's the group that's ready for baptism." And the chief said, "You didn't understand me. I said, we believe and we wish to be baptized. Why did you separate out the slow ones? We know who they are. We'll bring them along. And why did you separate out the weak ones?" They're part of us. We know who they are. Do you see two mindsets passing each other? Well, we are the mindset that can't understand we believe. It's just not part of our experience. That's why I recommended that Habits of the Heart, to understand a little bit how individualistic we are as part of our thinking, a common assumption. It's Democrats and Republicans, and we all share it, labor, management. And so when it's that culturally assumed, it's hard to break through it. And I think there's a great connection up here between part of what the scriptures talk about in the way of freedom to be part of a people, and our need to move more into that because our culture doesn't allow for that. Let me give you one other connection that I thought of as I went back over this. We've used a phrase, your slavery spring from what you're trying to prove and to whom. How does that sit? That might be another place for you to start when you get to the small group. That was helpful for me, or that wasn't helpful for me, or I think that's opening up freedom, or that closes me down. Why don't you try our slavery spring from what we're trying to protect and from whom? Does that do it? I mean, in other words, I'm just saying again, be my guest. Change it. Find, pray the way you can. Don't try to pray the way you can't. Make my chart a barber pole. Fine. I have no great commitment to the chart or to any one of my questions. What I hope is that there are ways in which it opens up the possibility of freedom. It was in this room that I gave a lecture on nonviolence. And a very honest person said, "Boy, I would like to do that, but let me tell you what's going on right now." This was the summer of the crisis of gasoline in this country, and the gas lines and inability to get the amount of gasoline you needed. And when that hit farmers, it wasn't only the convenience of your car, it was getting the crops in. You remember, was it 74, 75? I don't know.
74.
And this couple said, "We have a gas tank, and we had enough to make our crops and to do what we need. People keep stealing the gas." Now you talk about nonviolence. What are we supposed to do? We have done we have locked it. We have fenced it. We've put a spotlight on it, and it hasn't stopped them. And I don't know how to be nonviolent.
Welcome, everyone equal. Open the door, see the people.
Just open the door.
Open the door. Open the door.
Here we go.
Open the door, see the people.
To the way I live, I mean consistent to what we've been talking about, here's what you would do. You would take down the fence, you would take off the lock, you would leave the spotlight so that they could read the sign that said, if you really need gas, take some. And I thought, ooh. And I looked at two people and they looked at me and said, oh God, I'd give anything to be that free. Here, when I thought we'd have to talk a little bit more and where I would add, but let me get serious. No, they felt it. They felt it. Our slaves spring from what we have to protect, and from whom? My uncle was a missionary in India. He brought back a delightful story. The church in India was as poor could be. And some good-meaning people here, instead of sending them something that might have fed people or medical supplies, sent them a gold chalice for their Eucharist. And so the bishop thought, well, these are good people. I guess we ought to use this. And so when he went on one of these old trains that are just filled with people, he had this gold chalice to go to the village. And he tried to sleep, but he always opened his eyes about every 10 minutes to make sure the chalice hadn't been stolen. And then he thought, well, now let's see, this is not working. So he put it at a place right across from him, so when he kind of nodded, he could look. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, he looked up and it was gone. And he said, thank God. And he slept. And he slept the rest of the night. Do our slavery spring from what we're trying to protect, and from whom? Test it out. We've got, let's do, how many were here when we divided by birth, how many were not here when we divided by birthdays and went into small groups? 1, 2, 3, all the rest of you were? 4, okay. Why don't you go to the same group and the same room, and I'll kind of look around. If they're too small, I'll bring you a guest. But those who weren't here, why don't you just form a circle up there, or no? Form a third circle down here, you that weren't here. Here's my suggestion, that you spend about 20, 25 minutes, then come back. I'd like us to close together, but I'd like you to have some time. How did it work to look at nonviolence through freedom? What does that do in the way of opening it up for you? Or my slavery spring from what I'm trying to prove and to whom? Or how about the list when you made, these are the things I own, these are my possessions, or I take delight in, I enjoy, pure gift to me. Any one of those ways. Just start with one of them and just do some sharing. Make sure you know one another, but I think you should by the small groups. Let's just see if that works and come back at about 10 after 10, would you? Are there any questions? Do you need any more instructions than that? No. Even though I think you're strong introverts, just visit a little bit, and there's some great people here. Get to know them, okay? Anybody who doesn't understand, come down and we'll make a circle. But the rest of you, I think I've got at least 8 chairs in each of the 5 places.
We cannot see when those who work for right are locked away, kept out of sight, and we're blind to what it means that we are free. Even the stones will cry out for justice. Even the trees will sing out for peace. The fire and water, the earth and sky, all of creation will cry out. Cry out. All of creation will cry.
Our lives are shaped instead by the images of war. When all people far and near are slaves to greed and hate and fear, and we can't remember what we're living for.
Even the stones will cry out for justice. Even the trees will sing out for peace. Fire and water, the earth and sky, all of creation will cry out. Cry out, all of creation will cry.
If the day should come when the air we breathe is dead, when the whole earth has been bled until the earth will bleed no more, when the oceans turn to warm and an overbearing sun brings harm and the barren land can barely be restored. Even the stones will cry out for justice. Even the trees will sing out for peace. The fire and water, the earth and sky, all of creation will and creation is the home it's meant to be. Then with the stones we'll cry out for justice, and with the trees we'll sing out for peace. With fire and water, with earth and sky, with all of creation we'll cry out.
Started by saying that Ray and I felt we couldn't miss with this weekend, that the place and the weather, and the worst complaint I heard was the skiing was not as good yesterday as Saturday. That's fairly minor, I think. I didn't expect pie and ice cream. That was a kind of fringe benefit and a gift. But we do want to thank you. It has been great. I'm sorry I didn't get to visit with everyone personally. The visits I had were just marvelous, and I thank you all for coming and for being part of this. I did fill in the chart for anybody who wants to fill it in. I just ask you, how does it sound if the first list I read is a description of slavery and the second list I read is a description of freedom? The works of the flesh are plain: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, selfishness, dissension, party spirit, envy, drunkenness, carousing. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, or generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us have no self-conceit, no provoking of one another, no envy of one another. I think those are Paul's ways of talking about freedom. I don't think it's easy to find the ones that fit. I could have had peace in a lot of them. I could have had love in all of them. I decided faithfulness was too general for any of them to fit specifically. Peace probably should definitely be down more on isolation than up above, because shalom or peace in the scriptures, the scholar Kittel, after he has studied all the times shalom is used, says it is never individual and it is never inward. It is a social concept. That's not our cultural assumption, but that is a biblical idea. So there are all kinds of ways to kind of fit those. But I think we really do have, in the fruits of the Spirit, a description. Most important thing, going back, I think, to the first session, maybe the most important thing that Paul is telling us is it's fruits of the Spirit. It's not to be a great effort. It's to be a gift. It's to be received. We ought to have support groups for people whose addiction is stuff, or whose addiction is isolation, or that you really say, I'm powerless over it, and you pray, deliver us from evil. Maybe that's what Paul is talking about. I remember Gordon Cosby, who's a good friend and started the Church of the Savior in Washington, D.C. Very, very fine church. It's just been an inspiration to many people. He traveled and gave talks in Texas and came home, and the night he came home, it was his turn to serve coffee and cookies or baked goods at the Potter's House, which was their coffee house in inner city Washington, D.C. So he got off the airplane after this trip, was serving, and wasn't doing a very good job, and somebody in the corner said, boy, my coffee's cold. And he said, I felt like saying, they just called me Dr. Cosby in Texas the last 3 days. I'll get there when I get there. And then he thought, you know, I don't like being a servant. And I think it's the pits to do servant acts when you don't have a servant mind. So we need a chain. We need a fruit of the Spirit. We don't need to pretend that we enjoy servanthood. Everybody will sense it. It'll be paternalistic. If you go to the inner city, they'll call you a pretty. That's 3 steps below a do-gooder. But when there's been a transformation, when you are really free with your life and what you're doing, then I think we're talking about what St. Paul talks about. What does all this have to do with the church? What do you think all of this has to do with the church? Some of you still belong to a church? Anybody still belong to a church? And go, okay, all right. John, what does this have to do with the church? You just went to a conference on the church. What are you thinking when we talk about freedom?
The church is in a place right now where it, as a community, has most of the problems over on the left-hand side. The things I've been studying lately have said that the church, we're coming out of a time of what's called church culture, or one other person calls it Christendom, when the church was official and basically approved and everybody supported it. Think of the 50s when everybody went to church and going to church was a good thing and it was assumed that we were a Christian culture and the moral majority would still like to think we are sometimes. And that's really changed. And we now live in a situation where probably there is not the feeling generally in the culture that going to church is a good thing. Mm-hmm. And that we live much more in a mission world where there is something to be done. And we've lost our identity in the middle of that because we became just like everybody else around us. This makes us different. This kind of a gospel makes us different from the culture around us. And if we were this, we would be a transforming element within our culture. So it would be a change of identity for the church, which is, I think, what we're called to be. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Very well said. People, in one way or another, are kind of critical that why aren't you being a pastor anymore or something for what Ray and I are now doing. And I feel it's a ministry and I haven't given up on the church. I enjoy being part of a church. I'm a little bit like Robert McAfee Brown. Being in the church is like being in Noah's Ark. And if it weren't for the flood out there, you couldn't stand the smell in here. I can relate to that. But we really do long and pray and work for renewal or for us to be transforming. And so part of my thank you is it always is encouraging to connect with people that are the church and that give us hope. And so it's very simple. We think one of the things, especially on isolation, one of the things is we ought to open the doors more. So, and you might expect Ray has a song about that.
Well, I was born into the church and was actually educated in the church in seminary and then have gone some other ways, but I keep coming back to the church. And there's a little song that I learned, probably the first song I ever learned about the church was "Here's the Church." Here, maybe just as, not really the song, but then "Here's the Church, here's the steeple, open the door, see all the people." And I guess I'm just trying to find out how, you know, where that song leads. So this is kind of where it's led for me, at least, at present. "Here's the church, here's the steeple, open the door, see all the people. Everyone welcome, everyone equal, open the door, see the people." And we sing it like this. "Here is the church, here is the steeple, open the door, see all the people. Everyone welcome, everyone equal, open the door, see the people." What do you think? I'll help you. Here's the church.
"Here is the church, here is the steeple, open the door."
That's the hardest note. "Open the door,
see all the people. Everyone welcome, everyone equal. Open the door, see the people.
We are the dark skin, we are the light. We are the sunshine, we are the night. We are the blinded, we are the sight. We are the ego, we are the flight."
And here's the other part you gotta do.
A 1, 2, 3, 4.
"Here is the church, here is the steeple, open the door, see all the people. Everyone welcome, everyone equal, open the door, see the people."
You can be ready for that 1, 2, 3, 4 next time.
"We are the women, we are the men. We are the stranger, we are the friend. We are the walking, we are the lame. We are the different, we are the same.
1, 2, 3, 4. "Here is the church, here is the steeple, open the door, see all the people. Everyone welcome, everyone equal, open the door, see the people.
We are the meek, we are the bold.
Sorry, I got that wrong. So eager to get to that line.
We are the young, we are the old. We are the meek, and we are the bold. We are the sinner, we are the saint. We are what we are, and we are what we ain't.
1, 2, 3, 4. "Here is the church, here is the steeple, open the door, see all the people. Everyone welcome, everyone equal, open the door, see the people."
One of the most exclusive labels that we have at the moment for keeping people out of the church is the label "gay." And actually, it's funny how we just give labels of sexual preference to people who are not heterosexual. I'm heterosexual myself, and there is kind of a label that's given to heterosexuals that's straight, right? I don't like that label at all. Not that being gay is a picnic, but it sounds like a lot more fun than being straight to me. So if you're going to insist on labeling me by my sexual preference, please call me Glad. It just sounds a lot better. I feel a lot looser than being glad than being straight. Besides then, when I'm with my gay friends, I can say, "You're gay, and I'm glad."
We are the glad. We are the gay. We are what we do, and we are what we say. We are the single, we are the wed. We are the table, we are the bed.
1, 2, 3, 4. "Here is the church, here is the steeple, open the door, see all the people. Everyone welcome, everyone equal, open the door, see the people.
We are creation, we are the flood. We are the body, and we are the blood. We are the gospel, we are the law. We are the wonder, and we are the awe."
1, 2, 3, 4. "Here is the church."
How do you have the last word at an event? You decided to give it to Gerhard Frost. You want to come back to where we started. I think in spite of all that we've said, many of us still don't think we're worthy. We still feel accused. We don't think that what we would do would be worth much. I still find that true. So I'll let Gerhard Frost give us the final word. When I remember that I am a parent, I think of God as a parent. I recall a special breakfast brought to me in bed. We awoke early to the sound of hurrying feet. We wondered what they were up to, our 4 and 8-year-olds, but soon it came. Breakfast in bed. It was an elaborate menu, chilled burnt toast with peanut butter, eggs fried and chilled, soggy cereal, the milk was just added too soon, and tepid tea. One horrendous mix. When they stepped out for a moment to get something they'd forgotten, heaven forbid, my wife whispered, "You're going to have to eat this. I can't." And I did. I didn't eat it as a gourmet. It wasn't gourmet cooking. I didn't eat it as a hungry man. I wasn't hungry. I ate it as a father. It was made for me. I was expected to. They had faith in me. I ate it because it was served on eager feet with starry eyes. Now I think of my poor service to God. Teacher, parent, peacemaker, interpreter of the good news. My offerings are soggy, tepid, unfit. They really are. But God receives them. God even blesses them, not because I'm good, but because God is. Go in peace.